Chapter 25. The galley at lunch was super crowded, even with people just grabbing stuff for sandwiches or whatever. When I saw the line stretching out the door and around a bend in the passageway, I squeezed by and went straight for my office, where a mini-fridge was conveniently tucked under the desk. As I put items on the desk and nudged the fridge closed with a foot, Skippy's avatar appeared, shaking his head at me. "That's your lunch, Joe? A Rip-It energy drink and a candy bar? Hey, I'm trying to get some work done." I opened my laptop. "I don't have time to eat in the galley today." "That is not a lunch. It's more like a snack-cident." "Give me a break, okay? What would your hero General Eisenhower think of that lunch?" "He was a soldier, Skippy," I said as I pulled the tab on the Rip-It and took a gulp. "He would understand. Besides, this is a Snickers bar. It has peanuts, see? Plenty of protein." "That is not a good—" "Also, I have a handful of these little tomatoes," I said, popping one in my mouth. "So I'm getting my veggies, too." "Tomatoes are a fruit, knucklehead." "Are not?" "Yes, they are." "For reals? Cool. Hey, does that mean ketchup is a smoothie?" "It is not—" "Ugh. I suppose you could say, awesome. Tomorrow, I'm having French fries with a tomato smoothie for lunch. I'll tell Sims you recommended it as part of a balanced diet." "Do not tell her I said that. She won't believe you anyway," he sniffed. "Right, because you are so trustworthy. Skippy, you have zero credibility. If you denied being involved in sinking the freaking Titanic, everyone would assume you were involved." "Ugh, I hate my life. Hey, I'm trying to help a brother out here. Why am I the bad guy?" "Because nagging me is not helping." I made air quotes with my fingers. "I meant help, like I can have a bot deliver something healthy from the galley." I paused, ready to tear open the Snickers bar. "You can do that?" "You can do that, knucklehead. You're the captain of this ship. Duh." "That's not the only issue. Duh. The crew is busy. I can't have a freaking bot standing in the chow line for me." "The bot can skip the line and go straight into the kitchen through the service access." "Oh, cool. Cool indeed. Would you like a bot to bring you something healthy for lunch?" "Yes." I tore open the candy bar and bit into it. "Bring me a bag of chips, please." "Seriously? Ugh, I do not know why I bothered talking with you." While waiting for a bot to bring a bag of chips from the galley, I wanted to research a science-y issue, so I went to my favorite source of information, Wikipedia. Except I couldn't. "Hey, Skippy," I called the beer can again. "What's up with the internet? I'm getting an error 404 file not found." "Ugh." His avatar appeared, one hand covering his eyes. "Oh, yuck. Do not tell me what perverted site you were on. It wasn't that kind of site." I could feel my face growing red anyway. "I'm trying to get on Wikipedia." "Hmm. That shouldn't be a problem. Let me check." Uh-oh. Oopsie. Oopsie. It was never good when Skippy said oopsie. "What did you do this time?" "Why do you always assume a problem is my fault?" "Is it?" Yes, but that is not the point." "It is exactly the point. What did you do?" Well, you know how I updated the local stored version of Earth's internet the last time we were there?" "Yes." It still freaked me out that he could download the entire internet like it was no big deal. "So?" "So I password protected all the porn, and apparently by mistake I included sites like Wikipedia behind the firewall." "Okay, so can you unlock it for me, please?" "Well, oh shit. It looks like I forgot the password." "You forgot it? Oh my... Why the hell did you set up a firewall anyway?" "Because porn is bad for you monkeys. Listen, I know, Joe, it's bad. Porn gives people a totally unrealistic idea of how quickly a plumber will come to your house." "Oh," I laughed. "Yeah, you got that right. Can you fix it?" "I'm trying, numbskull." "Numbskull? Remind me, which one of us is the idiot who forgot a password?" "Oh, shut up. You didn't put anything important behind the firewall, like the instruction manual for the reactors?" "No, Hey, I've got a lot of important stuff rattling around in my matrix, you knucklehead. Sometimes I have to prioritize where information gets stored in my memory. It looks like that password didn't get on top of the list. Did you try PASSWORD? It would not be something as simple as... Huh. That's it. Oh, you are a freaking genius, Skippy. No one would have guessed that. Oh, shut up. Can I use the internet now? Wait! He covered his eyes again. I do not want to see. It's not porn. I'm on Wikipedia, Skippy. Oh. He dropped his hand. Why don't you ask me when you need information? Because Wikipedia doesn't call me a numbskull and a knucklehead and a dum-dum. Are you sure about that? My tablet screen suddenly popped up a Wikipedia entry about me. The profile photo was Barney the moronic purple dinosaur. There were other photos of me as a monkey. Numbskull and knucklehead were some of the nicer descriptions about me. I jabbed a finger at his avatar. You did this? Sadly, no, I didn't have to. A lot of monkeys on your homeworld hate you, Joe. Although, there is some inaccurate information about you in there. Thank you. I slapped the desktop. Can you fix, like, where the article accuses you of compulsive masturbation? Your habit is chronic, Joe, not compulsive. That is a gross misunderstanding of... Oh my God. See? You choose to frequently... Please make this stop. Hey, it wasn't my idea to... You know what, Skippy? I changed my mind. I am going to look at porn. I will just type in something weird like, yuck, yuck! His avatar disappeared. By that time, I had forgotten what the hell I wanted to research, but I couldn't admit that, so I wasted a half hour reading about neutron stars. Getting to Jaguar gave us some relief. Our crew complement dropped, so we only had 80 additional people. The new people had never experienced the wondrous delights of the growing Club Skippy settlement, and they were anxious for shore leave after being crammed together aboard our ship. General, a Marine Corps lieutenant raised a hand to ask a question after I made farewell remarks in a cargo bay. Most of the people going dirtside would be dispersed to other ships. The merry band of pirates might never see them again. Although UNEF Command planned to rotate personnel aboard Valkyrie for advanced training, so maybe they would be cycling through again. What's it like down there? Club Skippy? I shook my head. You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. That line drew a laugh, but the Marine grinned back at me. I've been out the main gate of 29 Palms, so... Good point, I conceded. Seriously, Club Skippy is tense and repurposed shipping containers, but enjoy breathing unfiltered air down there while you can. We were all likely to be stuck inside a starship hull for a while. I know I don't have to remind you of the ground rules, but remember... Do not add to or subtract from the population while you are dirtside, and I do not want to see your names mentioned in the Jaguar Base daily report. Other than that, have fun. Dismissed. With the ship a lot less crowded, we were all able to take a 3-minute shower every day, and the galley only had 2 crowded seatings at dinner time. With the ship's crew focused on training new people, Smythe's star team took double shifts in the galley. And as a reward, I set aside the gym for their exclusive use 6 hours a day. The stopover at Jaguar was brief, 4 days during which I never left orbit. They were 4 busy days, busy for everyone, so even people determined to get into trouble on the ground really didn't have much opportunity. My only contact with my family was via video link. Ditto my 2 conversations with Margaret Adams. I felt bad about us being separated for so long. She straightened me out about that. Listen, I told her. Sorry that we can't, Joe. She cut me off abruptly, and if we didn't have a video link, I would have thought she was pissed at me. Do not worry about me. She looked away for a moment. I may have been a little high maintenance. No, you haven't, I objected. Will you please shut up? Pressing my lips tightly together, I nodded silently. I want this to work. Us. You have been, she took a breath, doing a lot of the work, and I have been getting in the way. Getting in my own way, she muttered to herself. Do not argue with me, she preempted my argument. This is new to me, the relationship thing. I'm still figuring it out, okay? I'm not great at expressing myself, so I know how I feel about you, she said with a catch in her voice. I think I know how you feel about me. I suck at this. No, honey, you're doing great. Thank you. What I'm trying so miserably to say is, right now you have a job to do. Whatever I can do to support you, I will. Don't worry about me. Worry about kicking alien ass, you hear me? Loud and clear. When you come back, I'll be here. Or, she tilted her head and grinned, I'll be on some godforsaken rock fighting aliens and killer robots and getting shot at from orbit. Why do you get to have all the fun? I grinned back, but my smile faded. Visit my family while I'm gone, please. I will, she promised. My mother had told me Margaret visited them whenever she could, which I took as a good sign. I won't say goodbye. She put two fingers to her lips and pressed them to the camera lens. Then she snapped a crisp salute. I will say, good hunting. Zhao decided to take from Jaguar Base two star carriers, one assault carrier, and six destroyers. The former Jurap, the battleships, battle cruisers, and heavy cruisers were left behind. He reasoned they couldn't add much to the combat power of the Extinction-class ships, and he needed their crews for the strike mission. And because the best place for those crew members to train to operate a former Maxulk's Extinction-class battlecruiser was aboard Valkyrie, we suddenly had another 60 people added to our crew complement. It's a good thing I was still sleeping in my office. The plan was to rotate people on and off Valkyrie until we reached Ragnar, where Zhao would assess the situation and assign crews as needed. On the subject of as needed, Zhao made a request that, while entirely reasonable and sensible, was inconvenient to me. It also made me kinda sad. Lonely, even. Shortly after we jumped away from Jaguar, I called Sims into my office. XO, come in, I waved to her and pointed to the carafe of coffee on the desk. She poured herself a cup of coffee and looked at me expectantly. I received a request from Zhao, I explained. When we get to Ragnar, he wants you to take command of a battlecruiser.
What?
I agree with him. I'm also sending Shepard with you to be a chief pilot and Mamea's gunnery officer. I glanced at the list on my laptop. Also, Wu, Chandra, Charbonneau, and about 24 of our most experienced people, if you want them.
That...
She was still processing the surprise announcement, although it should not have been a surprise to her.
We'll leave Valkyrie's crew rather thin.
I'm hoping it won't matter. We should not have to do anything during the attacks.
Unless something goes sideways.
She stared at me.
Then Valkyrie will be coming to the rescue without a fully qualified crew.
The crew is qualified, I insisted.
Inexperienced, then, she conceded.
Our crew roster will still be more experienced than any of the people at Ragnar. Either way, some ships will have holes to fill in key personnel slots. Zhao will let me designate people to rotate back here before we split away to crash a wormhole network, I said with a glance toward the open door. Listen, I'm not happy about this. It feels like... I let out a breath and sat back in my chair. Like we're breaking up the band, you know? But... You're ready for this, to have a ship of your own. More than ready. Other than me, you are the only person with experience in command of a Maxulk's battlecruiser. The ships at Earth don't count. Their engagement with the boss Farrakh was like shooting fish in a barrel.
The other Extinction-class ships are not the same as Valkyrie. Their AIs are completely different.
I know, I acknowledged. You will be starting far ahead of your peers in learning how to operate a new ship. Sims, you're not Will Riker. You can't be my first officer forever. I know, I added. You never wanted this job.
That's not...
She looked at the open door, and I caught her meaning. After the door slid closed, she continued.
The point. We are soldiers. We go where we're needed. Sir, may I speak frankly?
Sims, you don't have to ask permission to not speak frankly.
You need me here. You're a brilliant commander, but I know my limitations.
If you hadn't fixed the issue of my...
I couldn't help giving a guilty glance at the firmly closed and soundproof door. Being less than truthful about recent events. We don't know that it is fixed. This is only the current crisis. It is. I acknowledge the obvious. We have to get past this crisis to tackle the next one, and whatever comes after that. The best way to check the accomplished box on this mission is to conduct the raid clean and smooth. Get in, hit the bird brains, get away without significant losses, and with pretty video for the folks back home. To do that, the Navy needs commanders who know how to handle a ship like this and have the experience and judgment to keep us out of trouble. XO, you have more space combat experience than Zhao has. He originally requested you as a staff officer. I persuaded him that you should be on the front line, that he needs you in command of a ship. What ships are available? She asked, and I was pleased the conversation had turned to practical matters. It has to be a ship designated for America, she noted. The other four permanent members of UNEF would never allow an American to captain one of their ships. Command sent Admiral, yes, Admiral Cross was sent out to take the first American ship available. Zhao's authority allows him to countermand orders as he sees fit. Cross will get the second U.S. ship when it is available. That's not going to be popular. I don't give a shit, and neither does Zhao. He is responsible for delivering results. He's willing to take the political heat later. Cross has a star on his uniform. You have experience. This isn't because Cross was an officious pain in the ass on the outbound flight, aboard my ship? I shook my head. As a one-star admiral, he and I had equivalent ranks, though he had more time in grade. During the flight from Earth, Cross had worked long hours to get himself and his future crew ready. He also had been passive-aggressive about letting me know he thought I was not qualified for command. We agreed to disagree, and I let Zhao know that it would be best if Admiral Cross was aboard another ship for the flight to Ragnar. Cross was a fine officer. We just didn't get along. No, this is Zhao's call, not mine. Although when he asked me, I let him know he'd be an idiot to assign you to staff duties. You, she almost gave me the side eye, didn't use the word idiot, did you? You taught me better than that. I snorted. So what do you think? Does it matter what I think? No. Zhao has made the decision, and I've agreed to release you from the special mission group. And yes, it does matter, because your judgment is a big part of why you're being offered command. When I requested she sign up for another tour as my XO, I promised her, and I promised Frank, that she would only have to complete one tour, then she could go do whatever she wants. Then, shit happened. Earth was attacked again. She understood that I wasn't keeping her away from Frank. Circumstances were. I still felt like it was my fault. Then, she bit her lower lip. I want to select my crew. Shepard and Mamay, yes. I'll need to think about the others. Done. Anyone you want from Valkyrie you can take with you. When she lifted an eyebrow, I added, I already cleared that with Zhao. Listen, Captain Sims. We have Skippy and Bilby to run the ship here for us. The battlecruisers we captured had their Maxulk's AIs ripped out and replaced by a stack of Jaratha substrate in a cargo bay. Those ships need qualified crews to operate them. Their AIs are still learning how to mesh with Maxulk systems, and we're still learning how to interact with the new AIs. Skippy won't be there to help you. Very well. She still didn't look very happy. Maybe she was thinking about the enormous mountain of work ahead of her. When is the transfer effective? Whenever you want. As long as what you want is right now. Seriously? You want less time to put a crew together? No. This is... All right. Who are you getting as your executive officer? That's a bit of good news. You know that Maverick pilot? Derek Bonsu? He has command of the Boston. Is he? Not him. The other one. Strebik. Sims raised her eyebrows. Irene Strebik agreed to be your XO? No. What she agreed to is that she can't fly a dropship forever. Coming aboard Valkyrie as XO is her best option to get a command slot. Smart. Sims nodded. She hesitated. don't know much about her. I know she's capable, and she adapts quickly to new situations, and Perkins gave her a glowing recommendation. This isn't because she pulled Dave Chaika's ass out of the fire on Globacus. It isn't just because of that. I liked her the couple times we met. Ha! Huh, she snorted. You think she won't nag you about eating junk food? Holding up my hands, I said, I never thought about that. You have your fingers crossed, sir. You weren't supposed to notice that. Sims leaned back in her chair, looking around my office, which was extra cluttered with a folded-up cot and bins for my clothing. I'm going to miss this ship. The ship is going to miss you. Do Shepard, Mamet, and the others know? She asked. Not yet. That can be your first action. The next day, Strebik transferred from the star carrier Ganges, and we had a brief ceremony for her to take over as executive officer. Very brief, like I popped my head out of a flight simulator to shake hands with my new XO, then Sim started giving the former Maverick a crash course on Valkyrie systems while I taught a lesson on how to fly a Panther dropship. Then she got straight to work. Captain Ottavio Scarandum of the Jarapta Home Fleet's Ethics and Compliance Office was eating a light lunch in his rarely used office at the ECO Annex. It was a very light lunch indeed, consisting of a pickled slava egg, a handful of nuts, and an extremely fine bottle of vintage Bergoge. Really, the food was only there as an excuse to drink in the middle of the day. He felt a need for a drink, because the work he was doing was so mindless and tedious and totally unnecessary. Home Fleet Intelligence had requested the ECO to provide a wild and entirely useless guess about how the humans would respond to the most recent raid against their homeworld. Intelligence had not actually requested a guess. The official request had phrased it as an estimate of intentions, but it was the same thing. The request had been received by the civilian minister, who was nominally in charge of the office. Her staff had routed it to the admiral, who was responsible for actually making things happen, and his staff routed it down the chain until it plopped on Scarandum's desk like a dead fish. Also like a dead fish, no one wanted it in their office, and the longer it hung around, the more unpleasant it would get. So he was stuck, wasting the middle of his day writing an official estimate, which no one would read, and which he would not send to his leadership until after he had given the matter some serious thought, and then placed wagers based on his guesses about what the humans would do. His leadership would ignore the written report, which had to be written anyway, because that is how bureaucracy worked all across the galaxy, and they would focus intently on the wagers he placed. His leadership would delay forwarding the report not only because they felt a need to make minor changes to the report in order to justify their own jobs, but more importantly, so they could analyze his wagers and decide whether maybe Ottavio Big Score Scarandum knew something they didn't, and so place their own wagers before those sleazy assholes at Home Fleet Intelligence got the precious information. That is why Ottavio was sitting in his office, his front set of legs propped up on the desk, while he stared at the ceiling and tried to think of something vaguely intelligent to write into the intelligence estimate. While he stared at the ceiling, he reflected on the fact that if he was indeed promoted to admiral, his life would consist endlessly of such boring moments. Only he would be waiting for some poor jerk down the chain of command to write a report so he could forward it on to people who would not read it. What he really wanted to think about was ways to avoid being promoted for as long as possible. Unfortunately, he had a report to write, and it was not the sort of thing he could dump on Lieutenant Kinsta. So, what did he think the humans would do? In spite of his comparatively extensive contact with the strange and primitive creatures from the planet Earth, he did not know them at all. His contact had been with a special operations unit that was likely not typical of their species. The Merry Band of Pirates were a military unit, and while they could make their own decisions about tactics and sometimes about strategy, matters of policy were controlled by the civilian authorities on Earth. So, how would human politicians react to the most recent raid on their home world? Obviously, they had to follow through on the threat to crash wormhole networks. That was so obvious that Central Wagering at first had not posted options for wagers about if the humans would crash a wormhole network. The only options for action were which network or networks would be crashed and when. Immediately, protests arose. Since not even the Rindaloo had a map of which wormholes were on which local network, how would anyone know how many networks were involved in a crash? If more than two wormholes stopped working, the humans could claim they had crashed two networks, and no one could dispute them. Central Wagering reluctantly admitted that, well, yes, that was a problem, and they were looking into it. That admission prompted a flurry of wagers about how Central Wagering would fix the problem, to the extreme annoyance of the officials who toiled away in that powerful organization. Soon after, questions began to be asked. If it was completely obvious that humans would respond by crashing a network, why had the Maxulks ordered or coerced their clients to conduct the raid? The raid could only weaken one of the key members of that coalition and weaken the bargaining position of the Maxulks. Did the senior species intend to observe how the humans switched off a network so they could learn how to master that technology? Clearly, the answer was no, since no one knew which network would be targeted. Regardless of the lack of network maps, Bosphorak territory had to span a large number of networks. The Maxulks could not hope to get lucky enough to see the process happening. So, there had to be another reason why the Maxulks had forced the Bosphorak to risk a potentially large portion of their territory becoming isolated. The key word was risk. The only way the Maxulks' strategy made sense is if they were testing whether the humans actually could crash a wormhole network as they threatened to do. Maybe the demonstration had used up whatever capability the humans had, and their threats were empty. As that intriguing notion swept the illegal underground bookmaking market, Central Wagering was forced to open action about whether the humans would or would not respond by crashing a wormhole network. If they did not, what excuse would they use? And if their response was not the extreme action of shutting down wormholes, what would they do? That is why Homefleet Intelligence wanted input from the Ethics and Compliance Office. As he stared at the estimate he was supposed to complete, Ottavio at first groaned that he had no idea what humans would do. After all, no one in the history of the galaxy had thought of anything like the incredible concept of fantasy sports until humans did it. Who could predict what such unpredictable creatures would do? Then, while he thought about it, he realized the question was not impossible to answer. There was a limited set of options the humans could work with. He only needed to judge which options the humans would choose. Except the Maxulks also knew the humans had limited options for retaliation, and they would be poised to interfere. And the humans had to know the senior species would be waiting for them, so he needed to think about it. He leaned the couch back to stare out the office window, and was just taking a bite of Slava egg when his aide appeared in the doorway. "Kinsta," Captain Scarandum sighed. "We do not have a meeting scheduled this afternoon."
No.
The aide froze in the doorway. "Can't you see that I am busy?" Scarandum implored, adding a satisfied burp and reaching for the half-empty glass in front of him.
"I can."
The aide stared at the captain's feet propped on the desk.
"Certainly see that you are extremely busy, sir."
"By your expression, I am guessing you are not here to make me happy." Kinsta tried his best to wipe any trace of expression from his face and failed miserably.
"Would you like to wager about that, sir?"
"No, Kinsta, it would not be entertaining, for I would only be taking your money. Give me the bad news, please. I already," he tapped his tablet with a claw, "had enough bad news to deal with for today."
"I could wait until tomorrow."
"Would your information, like a fine bottle of Bergoge, improve with age?"
No.
"Then hit me with it, please."
"The personnel department wishes to remind you that your annual employee refresher training is due. Overdue, in fact. Overdue for the third time."
"Oh," Scarandum groaned, slumping in his chair. "Did you try telling them that I was tragically lost in the line of duty?"
"No, we used that excuse last year. You can only come back from the dead once or it starts to look suspicious."
Kinsta waggled an antenna in an accusing gesture.
"Ha ha!"
The ECO captain slapped the desk. "That was a good one, though."
"It was," Kinsta admitted. "Sir, personnel is serious this time. Failure to complete the required training will result in you being placed on double secret probation, and a note will be added to your permanent record."
"Oh, no!" Scarandum's claws clutched his face in mock horror. Please, anything but that.
A note in your permanent record will block you from placing wagers on margin.
Shit. The personnel weenies are not playing around.
That is why I said they were serious, yes.
What is the refresher requirement this time?
26 hours of online training.
No, no, no. Scarandum slapped his head hard enough to rattle his brain. 26 hours? Please tell me this is not another boring, poorly produced presentation where the video consists of some idiot reading slides to me.
You described it perfectly, sir.
Maybe this time I won't fake my death.
It's not that bad.
No. As I remember, in any training presentation from personnel, the video is fuzzy and the audio cuts in and out, like even the electrons of the file have given in to soul-crushing despair. Ah, well, I suppose I could sleep through most of it.
Not a chance, sir. There is a new feature they added which you would know if you hadn't skipped out of the training last year. An AI monitors your brainwaves to be sure you are paying attention.
Scarandum slapped the table again. That is not fair.
I can't argue with you about that.
Shit. What are the courses I'm supposed to take?
The usual. Military regulations, rules that are specific to the Ethics and Compliance Office, and of course my personal favorite, diversity training.
Oh, you are kidding me.
Sadly, no, sir.
This is bullshit.
I am not arguing with you.
Diversity training? Scarandum snorted. What a joke. That is a total waste of time.
The personnel department thinks diversity is extremely important.
Of course they do, the senior officer snorted.
Sir, you shouldn't joke about Kinsta, please. Only idiots need to be taught the importance of diversifying their portfolio of wagers.
Seriously, who needs training about that?
Apparently enough people that personnel had to create an entire training course on the subject. People who put too much of their money into a few wagers can quickly become bankrupt and represent a security risk.
I know that. This is a case where a small group of morons ruin things for everyone. When people fail to spread their wagers across a wide variety of topics, they lose. Isn't that enough of an education?
I think so, but... The aide shrugged with his antennas. Maybe people who don't understand the value of diversifying their portfolios are also too stupid to learn from their mistakes.
So we have to pay for their mistakes by taking diversity training.
All right, Kinsta.
Scarandum gulped down the bergoge from the glass and set it down with a thump. I suppose this is my fault. I put this off for too long and failed to create a plan to get out of this stupid training because, he glared at the junior officer, I was rather busy creating other plans, as you know.
I do know, sir. The personnel department also knows how busy you have been and how incredibly successful.
Then why?
They also do not care.
Fine. What is the going rate for bribing a clerk in the personnel department?
At this point?
Kinsta's antennas stood straight up.
When you are already grossly overdue? I think the price would be in the if you have to ask, you can't afford it range.
Shit, the ECO captain grunted.
Also, you have to remember personnel's policy on bribes.
Yes, yes, I know. Simply offering a bribe will get me rated as failing to think creatively.
Sir, if you can't think of a better way to get out of this training, I will be disappointed.
You wound me, Kinsta.
This is your fault for setting an impossibly high standard.
I regret to say you are probably right. What is the deadline for this stupid thing?
3 days.
3 days? That is totally unreasonable. How am I supposed to...
Perhaps you should have thought of that when you allowed the first 2 deadlines to pass without completing the training.
Oh, I really did not want to do this. He reached for his tablet. Kinsta, perhaps you should leave. I have to do something you probably don't want to know about. Instead of leaving, the lieutenant pulled a couch from the wall and sat on it.
Then I will consider this on-the-job training, sir. I always appreciate opportunities for education.
It is rather unsavory. It might make you uncomfortable. Simply being an ECO makes me uncomfortable.
Good point. Very well. Scarandum took a breath. I have a contact in the personnel department. She has what you might call a gambling problem.
Kinsta's only response was to slowly blink as his brain blew a fuse.
You mean, he sputtered. You mean she doesn't gamble?
No. No, I didn't say she is an ignorant savage. Of course she gambles.
Then what is the problem?
Well, this is a secret, but she was asked to leave Gamblers Anonymous.
She... Wow. They asked her to leave? How do you get thrown out of that organization?
Let's just say her participation in the group was not conducive to them remaining anonymous.
Excuse me, sir, I'm still trying to imagine how anyone could be thrown out of Gamblers Anonymous.
Kinsta knew that group had been founded for the purpose of helping people who had lost their mojo to remember how fun and exciting gambling could be. Like most charitable organizations, GA had eventually branched out into other worthy endeavors, such as money laundering, prostitution, and extortion. There had been a major scandal several decades ago when GA's reputation took a hit from getting into activities universally considered sleazy, politics. But their core mission still involved the most noble of causes, encouraging people to participate in juicy wagering action.
The primary purpose of that group, Kinsta protested, is to allow participants to gamble without the bookies at Central Wagering knowing who placed the wagers. That's why they are called anonymous.
Exactly. That is the problem. My contact is so good at wagering that bookies refuse to take any action from anyone in her GA chapter because she was costing them a fortune. Then, when she tried to spread the action across multiple chapters, Central Wagering froze GA's accounts.
Oh, Kinsta shuddered. I heard about that, but I thought it was just a crazy rumor.
It was a rumor, and it was crazy. It was also completely true.
Unbelievable. Kinsta shook his head. I still don't see how this helps you address your issue with the personnel department.
Can you imagine being banned from placing any wagers? The horrible pain of not getting any action at all?
It would be like a horror movie.
You know it. So really, I would be helping her.
Forgive me if I question the purity of your motives, sir.
Kinsta, this is what is known as a win-win situation. She marks me down as having completed this useless annual training, and I allow her to place wagers anonymously. Scarandum fairly bounced on his couch as he typed out the message and hit send.
How are you... Oh, no. Sir, you are allowing her to place wagers under your name?
No, of course not. I don't want the Bookies Guild to raise the odds when I wager.
Oh, thank... Then how? Kinsta blinked. How are you...
Well, this is why I suggested you leave my office, because it might make you uncomfortable.
How would... I just gave her access to your wagering accounts.
My accounts? Yes, Scarandum chuckled. I'm not stupid, Kinsta. The lieutenant threw up his arms, claws shaking.
How is this win-win for me?
Well, I guess the situation is best described as win-win-lose if you want to be picky about it.
I can't believe you did that.
I thought you appreciated opportunities for education.
Not like this.
Well, did you learn something or not?
Wait!
Ha! I just got a reply. There was an unfortunate glitch in my personnel records. It seems that I did complete the required courses on time. Oh! They also gave me high marks for creative problem-solving.
Sir, Kinsta took a drink of Burgoge right from the bottle. The next time you are in trouble with the bureaucracy, remind me not to help you.
See? This has been educational for you.